Do you find yourself so frustrated that your child, your adolescent, your preteen, your tween doesn't want to open up and have meaningful conversations with you? You sit down undistracted, you try to talk to them, but all you get are like one or two word replies or shoulder shrugs or grunts or I don't know, or rolling eyes, mom, not now. You're making the effort, but it's being met with silence. Unfortunately, we can't change our kids, but we can change the way we interact with them. So I'm going to give you some reasons why your child may not want to open up to you and what you can do to move around that obstacle and some tips on some cool conversation starters. All right, stay tuned with me. Welcome and thank you for listening to the Dr. Mom Sage Advice Podcast. Are you a single mom who is tired of feeling overwhelmed by doing it all? Have you been asking yourself, what is my real purpose outside of motherhood and my career? Are you tired of yelling, feeling mom guilt at the end of the day? If you're ready to go from chaos to confidence in your mindset and in parenting, then this is the place for you. Here we are authentic, transparent, and frankly, we're here to burst all of those mom guilt bubbles and empower you to take back control of your life so you can go from just surviving in motherhood to thriving and walking confidently in your best purpose-filled life God intended for you. I'm your host, Dr. Catricia, a board certified bilingual pediatrician. I'm also fellowship trained in pediatric urgent care medicine. That's just my fancy title for the weekdays, but 24/7, I'm the proud single mommy of my little wild mini me toddler. I'm also a postpartum depression survivor. Now, I'm on a mission to empower other single moms to take back control of their life. Through candid conversations, we will learn, be encouraged, inspired, and committed to making practical changes so we can be our best selves for the queen who reigns already inside of us. Okay, so let's dive in. I'm actually excited about this episode, you guys. I know I have this podcast. It's been almost a year. And thank you to all those who have been rocking with me since the beginning and for sharing and rating and reviewing this podcast. It's really, 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 really near and dear to my heart that you enjoy the content that you're hearing and that you would share with other single moms, okay? I'm sharing this episode today because as someone who grew up in a household where communication looks a lot different than how I'm trying to implement that and be intentional with my own child, sometimes it's still a struggle for me. I don't even think of myself as being the best communicator ever, not when it comes to professional relationships, interpersonal relationships. And even with my daughter, I have noticed lately as she gets older and has more words that sometimes I just like need to be silent because I have really nothing to say in the moment. And it's right because I'm just in my feelings. Hey, shout out to the Virgos out there. But I wanted to share this episode with you guys to help you navigate through some of the harder seasons, especially those who are parenting older children, and what we can do and have a more conscious effort in connecting with our children, right? So let's start in the first half of this episode with what are some reasons why your kid may not even be talking to you? Well, number one, I'm just going straight for the jugular. You talk too much. Yeah, that's right. I said it. You talk too much, okay? So if you have a child that's introverted, maybe they need more time to be quiet, more time to be alone to process what you're asking, to process what just happened before they can give you an explanation. But if your child's more extroverted, then they most likely need more time to talk, more time to kind of get their feelings out there, to just open up, to vent, as we say, to feel relief of, whew, I got that off my chest. So what can you do? If you have a child who is more introverted and doesn't open up naturally in the beginning, ask open-ended questions and then wait for the reply. Listen without interrupting and support them with silence. And what that means is we got to use a lot of our nonverbal communication skills. We mimic their expressions. If you notice that they appear to be sad or frustrated, you make eye contact, maybe a physical touch to their knee or to their shoulder. And also use active listening, which is like the repeat back of what you heard, right? You're repeating back what you heard. So for instance, Emily, I heard you tell me that Jessica and Michelle were very rude to you when you entered into the classroom today. And afterwards, you found yourself shutting down. Can you tell me how you feel in this moment now that that's already happened? So repeating back what they said, asking open-ended questions, and knowing that sometimes we're not needed to be their problem solver in the moment. We're just needed to listen. That leads me to the next reason. Reason number two why maybe sometimes your child doesn't want to talk to you. We're always trying to solve their problems. I mean, it's natural, right? Parents often assume that our kids want our advice and solution. Instead of just listening and hearing their point of view, we want to jump in with our own opinion and our thoughts and our life lessons. It's a skill that we have to develop, right? Of just being present in the moment to listen. After you've heard them tell their story, I would practice active listening and again say, oh, I heard you say you were at the soccer club when James came up and he said something that was very offensive. Do you want me to help you navigate of what you should have said or what we need to do? Or do you just want me to listen and support you in this moment? Ask. Do you want me to help you solve this problem? If they say yes, that's great. If they say no, then encourage the brainstorming. Encourage them to problem solve. What did you do the last time this situation happened? Has this situation happened before? What are the consequences that you would face if you chose your option A? What are some other options we could choose? Which one would have the least long-term consequences if we chose that? See if your child can try their own ideas. Even if it may not be the best solution that you would pick, right? Remember, they're learning, they're evolving, they're growing, and we didn't always get it right. And we still make mistakes as adults, right? Well, we have to start somewhere. We got to move beyond our comfort zone and at least take the first step. And that first step may not be the best solution, but it was something versus staying in the problem. Number three, another reason why they may not be opening up is because you're distracted. That's me, you guys. Your child may be ready to talk to you, but you're not picking up on the cues because you're busy. Or they're probably just tired of competing with your phone or your computer or your work schedule. Try to monitor your distraction level throughout the day and see what needs to be changed. Like for me, I set an actual reminder that my phone kind of shuts down. I can't use apps or anything. If you have an iPhone, there's in settings, you could do like a downtime. And I try to have a downtime specifically for the hours where we're, you know, entering the home around 5:30 to like 7:30. That's like leading up to like bedtime. So I'm able to cook dinner, like sit with her, read a book while she waits for dinner to be made, or we can put on some Spanish numbers or Spanish lessons and review that, or turn on some music on the Echo Dot and dance. But I try not to be on the phone and give her my time, especially out of mom guilt of like being away from her for so many hours while she was at pre-K and I was working in the clinic. Okay. If you're really busy, just reschedule. If you know that your child like has something very important to say to you and you don't know how long this conversation is going to take and you feel like this may be something that they've been holding in for quite a while that you've been suspicious about and it's, you know, no appointment or it was you're meeting up with your girlfriends or it was a Zoom conference, is it something that you can reschedule? Allow them to know, hey, I want to give you my full attention. So I'm gonna send this email really quick because I'm letting them know that my focus is going to be on you. Okay. For younger kids, it's great to tell them that upfront as well. You know, like for kids who don't have really a concept of time, you can just say, hey, well, I'm just going to set the timer on the Alexa. And for the next 10 minutes, we're going to go to your room and you're going to pick an activity. Do you want to do puzzles? Do you want to do blocks? And while they're playing, it's usually when kids open up and they're going to talk to you because they're feeling the most comfortable in those moments. Another reason why your children may not be talking is because we're judgmental sometimes. Maybe they're afraid of your response. If you in the past have, you know, raised your voice or your tone was offensive to them, or even in your facial expressions, and that, you guys, I have horrible.
Even my child picks up on it. And it's not when she's talking to me, it's just, that's just who I am naturally. But today I was like in deep thought and I couldn't remember where I put something. And I just happened to walk past her and she's like, why's your face like that? And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's five. But I know that it's going to be something I continue to consciously work through, especially as we get to the point where we're having these deeper conversations and she needs my attention and I'm making eye contact with her. I never want her to read my face and think what she's saying is not important. So check in with your child often to see how they feel and what they're thinking. And lastly, maybe another reason why they're not talking is because we're pressuring them to talk. You know, when parents are concerned about the kids, we kind of often push to find out what's wrong, what's wrong. You know, it's frustrating to ask questions without getting a response, right? Like, you just want to know, like, someone bothering you at school. It's something I did. Like, when it's question after question after question, you're just like, whoa. I know I've been on the receiving end of like, whoa, when do I jump in? You know, like, which one do I address? You know, especially those introvert persons. Find alternative ways of asking why. Again, open-ended questions. And I got you. I got you in the next half of this episode, some conversation starters, some more creative ways of to ask versus just how was your day? Because they're probably going to say fine when it was not fine. Always keep the communication open. Let them know, I'm here when you're ready to talk. You'll never be in trouble for being honest with me. You can always share everything. I tell my daughter now, I mean, I've been telling her since she was three, you know, you don't have secrets. And that's also because out of protection for her when it comes to body autonomy, when she's not in my presence, and protecting her from emotional and physical abuse. And I explained to her, there's no secrets. You can have surprises, you know. If me, mom, papa want to surprise mommy with a gift, that's a surprise. But there's no secrets. You can always tell mommy something. Even if someone says that they will hurt you or hurt mommy, that's not the truth. You always tell mommy. So tell your kids. They can always come to you, no matter how big or silly or small they think the topic is. You're always going to support them. Even if they're in the wrong, you're going to help them move forward in the problem to find a solution. Okay. All right. Stay tuned. Here we go. Here are some conversation starters. Okay. So in the first half of the episode, we talked about what are some of the reasons why we're hitting the blockage as it relates to our children not opening up. And in this half of the episode, I want to share some conversation starters, you know? So if you're ready to get more than a shrug or I'm fine or like a head nod out of your child, rather than asking questions like how was your day or what did you do today or what's going on in that brain of yours, why don't we try some cool ways to open up with open-ended questions that get their minds kind of the wheels of their brains turning and maybe hopefully having them open up a little bit more to you. Okay. So let's start with, if you could have a meal with anyone, who would it be and why? Right. So this wouldn't be a question that you're going to ask when you know there's a specific problem going on, but if it's just a random day and you guys are headed to the grocery store or something, like, it's just so cool to get to know your kid, and the way their brain is processing information. So ask them, you know, like, who would you eat with? Like, which restaurant would you go to? And like, what would you order? And like, what would you guys talk about? You know, next question. What was the worst part of your day? That's kind of how I connect with my child after her pre-K pickup. Cause like I tell you, like, she was not feeling that new pre-K. And every day I'd be like, what'd you do today? Was it fun? Did you have fun? Did you go outside? And she's like legit not answering me. And she's like, can we go to Chipotle? And I'm like, okay, gotta do something new. So I started saying things like, what was the silliest part of your day today? And noticed immediately, like, she had an answer. She said, oh, when Liam like dropped the glue bottle and the glue went everywhere and everyone laughed. And I'm like, oh, okay. But had I asked her, how was your day? She would have never, ever told me anything about Liam dropping a glue bottle. Next conversation starter. What are your favorite things we do as a family? I love that. Helps you again to kind of get to see, like, if you don't already know, what's your child's love language? Are they mentioning more things that relate to quality time or acts of service or gifts? Ask them as a follow-up question, what's a new tradition you think we should try? You know, my daughter definitely would tell me, oh, picnics. You know, she's asking today, can we have a picnic? It's like 32 degrees outside. No, ma'am. No, sir. Another great question I love that can be like a follow-up of this or like a similar question when it comes to family is, especially your preteens and your teenagers, is what are some areas that you think I'm doing a great job as it relates to parenting you? What are some areas that I can improve on? You'd be surprised. And I'm sure they're going to be like, whoa, I get to answer this. Like the fact that you allow it to be an open conversation, that they have a right and that they can use their voice and to speak up, you know, because we're human. I'm not a perfect mom. You're not a perfect mom. None of us are perfect parents. Our kids don't even need us to be perfect, number one. But to be able to continue to have an open relationship and cultivate that bond to allow your child to know that, like, you're no so far removed in regards to, like, your humanity, that you are not sitting on this throne, that they wouldn't be able to respectfully, obviously, approach you when you're asking this question and say, well, you know, I think that maybe you could be on your phone a lot less, or you know, sometimes you sound mean when you ask me to do X, Y, Z. You just never know. Like, we're so blinded sometimes, you know, and that's the importance of, like, having self-awareness. And if anyone knows us well, it's definitely our children, because they see it at our best, our worst, and our ugliest moments, right? Next question. Who is your best friend? Follow that with, why are they your best friend? Follow up that with, maybe, who do you think is, who calls you their best friend? Number 5, what is your earliest memory? I think that's a beautiful question. I don't think I'm quite there yet. I try to see if I can guess what my child's earliest memory is by asking her, you know, if she remembers the Disney cruise. I'm like, well, who do we see on the Disney cruise? And I think she's just like, obviously doing a multiple choice quiz. She was like, Mickey. I'm like, yeah, well, that's a given. But just the other day, we're walking and she's like, oh, remember that time when I fell right here when I was 2 and I scraped my knee? And I'm like, was she 2? Like, she probably was 2. But so asking what's your earliest memory may be a question that adds more of your elementary age children as well as your teenagers. Ask them what's their funniest memory? What's their saddest memory? Next question. What does a perfect day look like to them? If they had $1 million, how would they spend it? If they could pause time, what would they spend more time doing? If they had 3 wishes, what would they wish for? What do you think are the most interesting things about them? I didn't phrase that correctly. If you were to ask a question to them, you would say, what do you think are the most interesting things about you? I love that, right? To be able to, like, see how they take pride in themselves and express self-love. And it may be something that you would have ever, like, thought that they appreciated about themselves, or a gift that they have, or a talent that they have. And of course, as a parent, it'd be an opportunity to edify that and to really support them and how they're loving themselves for those interesting things that they see about themselves. What traits do you see in other people that you admire? I love that question. Goes to show how they're thinking about core values, you know, and what they love and what they're interested in and what is important to them, especially in our pre-adolescent stage where we start to go through a different psychological stage of having our own self-identity. You know, we're separating ourselves from being a part of the family unit to being an individual. Next question. What are you most afraid of? I love this question. I think a lot of times as parents, we want to shelter our kids and tell them, well, there's nothing to be afraid of. There's no fear. But we all have fears, right? Asking them, what are you most afraid of? And then seeing where that fear is rooted in. Be able to encourage them. You know, you never know. It may be something that opens up a door and an opportunity for you guys to pick up a new hobby so they can work on overcoming that fear. What was their most embarrassing moment? This just may be an opportunity for a funny and a silly story to be told and to laugh. What do you want to be doing in 5 years, in 10 years? Allowing them to see that they can believe bigger, that they can expect more, that they can dream big. They have vision for their life. Even at the age of 5, at the age of 3, at the age of 13, they don't have to wait till they finish high school and, you know, and get into college and then think about how they want their life to look like. They could be thinking about that now. You'd be so surprised. It may be something like, oh, Well, I'm not going to go to college. I'm going to be an artist. I'm going to go to Costa Rica and do work in the jungle and study sea turtles or something. Who knows what they'll say? But I just love that it's an opportunity for you to get beyond those barriers of my day was okay. Like, there's a lot going on in that brain. And I know having conversations with our kids sometimes can be difficult when they don't open up. So try one of these questions on the way to drop off, when you're picking them up, random grocery store run, at the dinner table. Hey, by the way, I was thinking, what are you most proud about in your life? What was the biggest thing that you accomplished last year? Is there something you're looking forward to the most in this year, and how can I support you in that? I hope this was helpful to you, Mommy. Remember, if you enjoy this episode, then you're going to definitely love other episodes that are inside of this podcast as well. I need a favor from you, however. I want to keep producing content for you. So I want you to share this with your other single mom friends. If you haven't already, leave a review for the podcast. And always remember, you can slide in these DMs, honey. I am there to answer your questions, whatever you may be going through, whatever need that you have. And I want to know, what are some other topics that you're interested in hearing on the Dr. Mom Sage Advice podcast? As always, you know what I believe in, that you're more than enough. This is our season to thrive. We were not created just to survive through motherhood, but we were created to confidently walk out our purpose. Go ahead, keep shining. The world needs your voice. Hey, Queen, thanks for listening to another episode of the Dr. Mom Sage Advice podcast. I just absolutely love that I get the opportunity to share my expertise and to just pour into your lives because of the things that I've gone through personally and the things that I've learned and training to become a pediatrician. And I just want to let you know I'm thankful that you're here. And if you enjoy the content that was in this episode or any other episode, could you do me a favor, please? Like, I'm asking you, please, 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 could you just go ahead and leave a review? Give me a star rating and even subscribe to the podcast, because when you do that, that changes the algorithm and other people can find this podcast and be blessed as well. Until next time, I love you and take care of yourself.